Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
This summer, what we're going to do is focus on the Marvel Universe. A few years ago, we actually took a poll of the whole church, and the whole church gave top 10 movies. And so that first summer, we did the top 10 movies of the church as a whole. Anybody remember what number one was? Coming to America. Yeah, Coming to America. The number one movie of the Path, right there. It tells you a lot about us, right there and there. So we're going to have fun with that, but I want this to be for you guys to have some interaction as well, okay? And so you're going to interact by going on our Facebook page. You're going to like our Facebook page. You're going to share our live stream. But I want you to keep your phones out today, all right? And I want you to keep the discussion going on Facebook Live, all right? So if we say something that resonates with you, then go ahead and say whatever comes to your mind. If we say something you don't agree with, say you can speak your mind on that. You know, I know there's strong feelings about this movie, but we want to make it so that we can all be interactive. And if there's any questions or comments, I might look at my phone and see whatever comes up and see if we may be able to address those in the process. So let's go ahead and take care of that. The Path Church on Facebook. So welcome our panel today. You know, the reason why we do this is because we believe that God is a storyteller. That's what the Bible is. It's a story of a relationship between Him and His people, which is us. And we know that Jesus often taught in parables. And so Jesus, in a parable, is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus would walk around with His disciples and be like, look at that tree. Let me tell you about this tree. Or He'd say, hey, let me tell you this story about this rich young ruler. Or let me tell you the story about this religious Pharisee, right? And He would use stories to bring home a point. And now we've gotten very good at storytelling. So much so that we can make blockbuster films with stories in it. And these stories, what they do is they resonate in our hearts. The best stories, the best movies, I believe, are the ones that have godly storylines. And we see that over and over again. And there were some godly storylines in this movie. I'm sorry if you have not watched it. I will say it again. Spoiler alert. We are not going to hold back. We're going to say all the names and all the situations that happened. So I'm sorry. It's been long enough, but we want to start it out with a bang. All right? Without further ado, we're going to let our panel introduce themselves. So Daphne, if you can start with just sharing, of course, your name, how long you've been a Christian, and your favorite or one of your favorite movies.
Yes. Okay, so my name's Daphne Dunwoody, for those that don't know me. I've been a disciple going on 12 years now. 12 years. I'm a preteen. And then one of my favorite movies, of course, I mean, I love everything Marvel. But one of the movies that I really love that I can watch over and over again would be The Lion King.
That's a good one. Yes. My name is Quay. I've been a disciple for 9 years now. Right. It's crazy. Favorite movie outside of anything Marvel, you know, I got an affinity for Doctor Strange. Probably this movie called The Family Man. It's a good one. Yeah.
Hey, Quay actually preached on Doctor Strange last year and had some incredible spiritual insight from that movie. Yep.
And my name is Jordan Edwards. Hi to everyone who doesn't know me if I haven't met you before. I have been a disciple now for 11 years. And I'm like everyone here. I'm obsessed with Marvel. My dad was big on Marvel, so he passed that on to me. But outside of that, I grew up on Rocky. I was like all things Rocky. And And the best one is the first one. I will debate anybody here. But yes, it's not Rocky IV, Angel. I'm sorry.
The reason why she knows I would say Rocky IV is because my wife and I have had the privilege of knowing these three individuals for, decade plus. And so these are the people I like to talk to with about movies, and some of you out there as well. But for the last decade, we've been talking about movies. And so so this should be fun. Okay, before we get started, what would you rate Endgame? Out of all the Avengers, not all the Marvel movies, just all the Avengers, what would you rate it?
Wait, what's the scale?
No, out of
1 through 4.
Would you say it's the best, Daphne?
Yes.
Okay, it's the best. All right.
Nah, it's probably number 3.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Endgame is number 3. I told you may not like what they say up here.
Yeah. This is hard. I think it's number 2. Mm-hmm. I think it's number 2. I think I would edge Infinity War maybe over it, but it's up there for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I want to see y'all on the Facebook Live.
It's not Age of Ultron, guys. That's last.
It's definitely not Age of Ultron. It's definitely not Age of Ultron. But I would say as well that it was for me Infinity War. For me, the ending was one we have never, that I know of, seen. Nobody else has had the guts to end it the way they ended it. And so for me, that's big. Just as a movie buff, that they could end it like that was crazy. I know this movie stirs up emotions. I know there's people right now that don't like this movie at all because of how it ended. My mom is one of them. She's still, like, mad at the ending. Right. And just because she's sad. She's sad because you know what happened at the end. I told you we were going to say it all. Facebook, spoiler alert. Tony passed away.
Oh. My Uncle Tony, y'all. My Uncle Tony
passed away. Tony passed away. Okay, we see that. Okay, a number of people are saying that it is number 2. Karina says number 1 was Infinity Wars. Okay, so there may be a little bit of a...
Infinity Wars number.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's get into this. You know, for me, as I watched this movie, the biggest theme for me was... It was a movie about how we handle grief. Mm-hmm. And that really was, for me, seeing how all the different characters, especially 5 years later, how they all handle grief. Whether it was Black Widow putting herself into her job, whether it was Hawkeye just killing everybody, going nuts on people, right? Whether it was Iron Man who found his little piece of happiness, whether it was Captain America who had actually... had lost people before and had gone through this and was able to deal with it. He was getting help. He was, so it was, for me, it was a story about how we handle grief. What are your thoughts about some overarching themes?
I think for me, it was, grief is, yes, good, but I think for me, it was more so disappointments. Because just having to feel like you did your best and it did not work out the way you wanted it to, can be really hard. So I think seeing the character, and I think that's why it's my favorite, you get to see how each character handled it, and the good examples and the bad examples. And I think that's something that I can relate to, because with disappointments and trials and hardships, I've been able to handle it in not such a not in a good way, and we'll talk about that later, but also in a, okay, I'm going to God with it, but it's been a mixture. So I think I've been able to see myself in every single one of the characters with handling disappointments.
Thank you, Daphne, thank you.
Yeah, I think, of course, all this stuff works together that we mentioned, but hope probably be a big underlying theme going on in here. The things that you guys mentioned, people being disappointed, grief and all that type of stuff, what you've seen throughout the movie is how people respond to having, even if it's just a sliver of hope, they can do some amazing things when they believe that something can be done.
And just talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
What was that moment were they always, was there always a little bit of hope, or when was that moment for you when it was like, right, okay, we see this coming alive here?
Oh man, Ant-Man.
Ant-Man,
my
boy.
Man showed up. When he showed up out of his little van, or whatever it was, he came with no plan. He didn't know how to work, time, travel, anything like that. He had no clue how that worked and how they could win, but he just, I got hope. Mm-hmm. I'm not smart enough to pull it off on my own, but I know if we put ourselves together, we got hope, we can figure this out. So that was that was a good thing.
I shared about that in my sermon a few weeks ago about how we all need an Ant-Man in our lives.
Right.
When we're down and out, we better have an Ant-Man in our lives. Some crazy little dude that says, no, it's not over. We can still do this. If there's a will, there's a way. If for us as Christians, if there is a God, there is a way. If we are still breathing, the best is yet to come. Especially as I always like to say, for Christians, the best is always yet to come, no matter what happens on this earth, because we know that we have heaven to look forward to. So,
Just all of that, grief, loss, hope. I think specifically with loss, I think Tony's arc really resonated with me, just because I think you saw all of the Avengers deal with grief and loss in their own way, but with Tony, it just kind of felt more personal because he lost Spider-Man, and that was, you know, he didn't really let himself get too close to too many people, and not in the way that he had ever really been close to Spider-Man, where he was kind of a father figure and a mentor to him. And so, you know, one of the things that I don't think that we talk a lot about really is just how crippling and isolating that experience can be when you lose someone who's really close to you. And I think just with Tony, you saw those emotions, like you saw him, I mean, of course there's that extreme just devastation, but then there's also like the guilt of, you know, I'm kind of the reason why he was in this situation, the regret and just the anger. And so I think that was one of the things that really resonated with me, just kind of seeing him process loss and have to, you know, initially kind of create some distance in order to process it, but ultimately how that loss motivated him to fulfill his purpose and to save the world.
And so is there a scripture that comes to mind as you think about that concept?
So, you know, I think of a couple. I definitely think about Romans 8:28, you know, that all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. But I even think about Philippians 1:6 too. That's actually my husband's favorite scripture. And the reason I think about it is just because, I'll read it. It says, you know, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And, you know, I think about that scene where, you know, Tony has, you know, he found his cabin in the woods and, you know, he'd kind of filled his life with good things, right? Like things that he had not really had the chance to do before. You know, he kind of slowed down. He started his family. And the rest of the team went to see him because they needed him. They were like, we have this sliver of hope, but we can't figure it out because Tony was the mind. He was brilliant. And that was part of his, you know, what he brought to the table. And he said, you know, hi, I love you guys. You know, you can have some lunch if you want to, but if you're here to talk shop, like, you gotta go. I'm not in that place right now. I'm not there. And so, you know, I think sometimes that's even what we do with our hearts, right? It's like, you know, even with the body, with our family here, it's like, and I'm speaking from personal experience. It's like, you know, I'm here, you know, but please don't ask me about, you know, about Kingdom Kids, about serving or any of, like, that's just not where I am right now. And I think what we're not saying is, you know, I'm here and literally it's taking everything in me just to be here. And that's just where I am right now. But I just love how, you know, even with those times that we go through, those experiences that we have, and just kind of wondering, like, can God still use me with all of this that I'm feeling and going through? But I think back to that scripture in Philippians 1:6 and how, you know, not only did Tony have these gifts and abilities that no one else on the team had that they needed, but, like, Dr. Strange didn't let Tony die because he was that one in 14,605, you know, outcomes
know
where
the
they
want.
Listen, y'all, I'm Marvel till the end, right? So that I just love how yeah. even with loss, even with all that Tony was experiencing, it ultimately wound up being one of those things that drove him to fulfill mm-hmm. his purpose. Mm. So
can I add something
yes,
with
for
that?
Sure.
I think too, like, I think what I resonate with is why he didn't want to go with them in the, like, what was that reason? Like, I have my family now, I have my daughter now, yeah. I have a comfortable life, and I just don't want to risk it. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to risk, and I think I can understand that, because especially when you go through a major disappointment, things didn't work out, it's hard to put yourself out there again. Mm-hmm. It's like, God, will you... You didn't cover me last time, God. Are you going to cover me this time? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I love the fact that he pushed through that. You know what I mean? And I even love the support of his wife, because in the previous Avengers movies, she was like, don't go. Stop it. I don't want you to do this. But I think she got to a place was like, this is who you are. This is do what you gotta do, you know. And I appreciate like having people in that corner, your corner, to push you and say you're not doing your best right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're too comfortable. Like you need to go. So I appreciate
that. And that was
too.
A lesson. I'll let you share, Koi, in a second. Mm-hmm. But that was a lesson. My wife, as we saw that part, was my wife's like that's a lesson for anybody married to a dreamer. Yeah. Like they're not gonna be happy. They're not gonna be their best. If they don't have that outlet and go live out their adventures. And so it takes a special spouse, like my wonderful wife, to come along with us and support us. So
yeah, no, I was just going
and yours as well.
Right. Yeah,
and all of yours. But yours.
Bless her. Yeah. But no, I think everything you guys are saying, that was another theme. I chose hope, but the other word that was circling around in my head was relationships as an underlying theme for the movie. They needed everybody. They needed every single one of them. The forces that they were fighting against were massive, and they needed Thor's mess. They needed the Hulk's brain this time. They needed Tony's brain. They needed Ant-Man's little glimmer of hope. So it just kind of emphasized for me, like, our role, I guess, if we're thinking about how this plays into our life and in God's kingdom. Sometimes some of us can feel insignificant, Ant-Man, right? but he was the spark, you know? And Tony, his whole thing was, I'm done. I'm checked out. I got my little glimmer of happiness. You know, we can build our own little kingdoms in the kingdom and have our little peace and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if Tony didn't get on the program with the body, not just being a solo guy on his own, get on the program and what the whole team was trying to do, they probably wouldn't have been able to accomplish what they were trying to accomplish. So each one of us individually have a part that we play in what God is doing here. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. So let's talk about relationships. That was another theme. For me, one of the most powerful parts was when, you know, Black Widow and Hawkeye were literally fighting each other to die for one another.
Yeah.
And I said, that is what being a Christian is all about, and living in a Christian family is all about. And it was such a higher calling. I mean, think about the concept, you know, and Jesus, you know, calls us to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But so often we have to fight. We have to fight to get to that place.
Yeah.
And just to see that, like them literally fighting to die for each other, just called me higher, and I think can call us higher as a church. Usually we're fighting for the opposite, right? Like we're fighting to see who's not going to die for one another. We're fighting to see who's going to make the least sacrifice. We're fighting to see like who's not going to hurt my feelings, right? Like who's like that's usually what we're fighting for, self-preservation.
Right. Yeah.
That's just in our human nature. But here we see how deep their love was. And then you can think about, and this is one of the things, Ricardo was going to join us as well. He got called into work, but one of the things that he talked about was, I think he spoke about it as we were coming up and having some pre-planning, was about Thanos, right? Mm-hmm. And how he was willing to sacrifice his daughter. And it was just this two total opposites of where they were both trying to get the same thing. went about it in two different ways, and we see God's way through the Avengers. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. You guys want to share anything about relationships or to that specifically?
Yeah, specifically about that part. This scripture in John 15, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for one's friends." Now, we see it in Black Widow. We also see it with Tony and some other folks, just how they're willing to give it all for the team. One kind of response to that is Thanos got into a point where he was about to get killed. He was fighting Scarlet Witch, the lady that has the red stuff. And she was mad because he killed her boyfriend. And she came through wrecking shop, and she had him in a point of almost submission. And he said, you know, call down the missiles from his plane. And one of his guys said, but we're still down here.
Mm.
And Thanos was like, look, as long as I live, that's the point. So y'all give up y'all lives for me. When you see everybody else, different people are trying to grab the gauntlet to kill themselves, in a sense, so that the team could win. So I think this still kind of goes into this thing. We can come into the church and try to figure out who we can get to die for us, who can serve me, who can call me, who can initiate with me, you know, who can give up their life so that I can be successful and be everything that God created me to be. However, in the Avengers side, the good side, right, they're all trying to figure out, what can I sacrifice so that the team can win? Like, what do I have to give? And so do we come in with that mindset, that heart, you know? So.
And I was going to add, too, I think the sacrifice meant a lot to me because, and I wrote down, she sacrificed for the undeserved. Because when you think about it, her relationship with Hawkeye was not on the best terms.
Yeah.
Because after he lost his family, he kind of isolated himself and was doing all these crazy things, and she was looking for him. And I mean, even when she met up with him, you know, you could tell she was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I could imagine the betrayal that was felt there, and like, why didn't you just reach out to me? Like, why didn't you grieve with me? Why didn't you tell me what was going on? Like, so I think too, like, but she still chose to love him and seek out after him and sacrifice herself for him. And I think the challenge could be, we're willing to die for the good, but are we willing to sacrifice yourself when we felt betrayed by a person, or when a sister is no longer talking to us, giving us the side eye, you know what I mean, or whatever it may be, are we still gonna be like Jesus and the, you know, friend, calling Judas a friend, do what you came for, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that about her sacrifice was like, wow, because it's not like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was like, it showed unconditional love, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I thought about too, and I'm like, man, like, I want to have the heart of, no matter what someone does to me, whether they reach out to me or not, whether they reciprocate or not, I want to love them the way Jesus loves them and lay down my life for them the way Jesus has laid down his life for me. So that's what
I'm
stuck out
to me
too.
I'm over here swaying and got my eyes closed because that's tough. It's convicting.
Yeah.
You know, it's all great and dandy. Yeah, let's be like Jesus. But then when you think about that part of being like Jesus, the part where he literally dies for his enemies, us, that is another level, another level of love that we could only hope to attain through his Holy Spirit. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm kind of spoiling other movies for you, kind of. The other Avengers, which you probably should have saw before you seen this one anyway. So Black Widow situation with Hawkeye is that, you know, he was sent to go and capture her, right? She was a criminal at the point, and he decided to, you know, forgive her despite all the wrong that she had. He took her in. And so she ended up, of course, joining the good guys, joining the Avengers. And she still always kind of, even though she was a part of the team, she was good, she always felt like she had red in her ledger. She always felt like her past was something that was still kind of something she wanted to make right. She wanted to give back all the grace in the sense that she's been given. And so this moment kind of ended that whole story of he gave her a second chance, hope, and all that type of stuff. And now it was her opportunity to give him a second chance after he went off the deep end. So just talking about how our relationships and how we play different roles at different parts in each other's lives. Sometimes the person that's getting on your nerves and you have to keep giving to and keep loving, brother. You know what I'm saying? This person, you never know who they'll be for you on the back end when you're in a situation.
Amen.
So we got to show the love of Jesus, regardless of how we're kind of getting it from other people at the time.
Okay.
And it's hard when we're seeing our friends, people we love, in self-destructive behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's almost like it's so easy to get self-righteous in that moment and say, well, you know, come on, come on, just be like Jesus. Or, you know, we give very superficial solutions in those moments. And yet what we need is Christ-like person that just pursues us and just says, I'm going to love you regardless of how you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I know I've been so grateful to have friends in my life that have done that through my ups and my downs. And especially when you're married, when you go through tough times as a married couple and your spouse sees the ugly.
Yeah.
And
all of it.
And right. All of it. And still loves you and still has grace and still like believes in you and is still committed to you. And you see the love of God in an amazing way. And I'll take that to Thor. If we can go into Thor, because Thor and his relationships. I loved Thor. I love Thor in this movie. I thought the character development was incredible. To see this side is realistic. He dealt with his grief and loss and disappointment by just escaping. Escaping into alcohol and video games and shutting everybody out. And yet there was a few people that hung in there with him during those times.
Right.
But they kind of just went along with it, you know. And yet there was another set of relationships that came along that showed a little bit of a different type of love. And I know, Quay, this is one of the things that you had brought up. And I was going to see if you wanted to just expound on that a little bit more.
Yeah, I felt like that was the biggest part of his story arc during this time. And what we can take away as a church. Clearly, I'm talking about relationships again. But you had Valkyrie, you had Korg, you had Meek. I think you can look at that and say they were bad friends. You can say they just let him get fat. They let him give up on his purpose. He was neglecting responsibility. True, but they never left him. They stayed with him that whole time. He always knew he had a window with them. And sometimes that kind of goes to that self-righteousness piece that you were talking about. Now, Valkyrie, she still was handling business. She was still taking care of business. So it doesn't mean that you can't take care of business and still at least leave a window open for your friends that are in a tough space and letting them work through that. But on the other side, you got friendships like the Hulk and Rocket who show up. And, you know, they show up, they see Fat Thor, they see Depressed Thor, they see, you know, they see a guy that is even scared to hear the name Thanos. It just reminds him of all his pain, all his struggles. It's a trigger word for him, right? And so the other friends are trying to avoid his trigger word and trying to love him in that way. And I think on the other side, we get another side. Like Ephesians chapter 4 talks about in verse 25, it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And so they show up, and they're like, hey, man, we need you, bro. We need you to be who you were made to be. We need you to be who you are gifted to be. All those things, you can pick those. And so they said Thanos and said it again. And Thor's like, don't say that name. Like, yeah, I'm going to say it again because you need to get going, you know. And Rocket even, you know, as Thor is like battling with grief and he sees him in the cycle, sometimes people can be like, okay, he's in a cycle and fall back. Rocket said, come here. Come here. And let me just slap you right over here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not advocating for smacking each other physically, right? But I think in our relationships, we should have that humility to be able to allow our friends to check us, you know?
Yeah.
So Rock is like, hey, man, we not doing that. We call to something better. And so those type of relationships, I think, helped Thor, all of them. The ones that let him grieve and deal and heal, but then the other ones, they're like, that's enough. Let's get to business, and we need to be those type of friends to each other.
And I think that's why it's so important, and Jordan, I'll let you chime in here. That's why I think it's so important to have a team. of relationships, spiritual relationships, people that know us. And the thing is, we got to be okay with different people and who they are to us, and be okay with that. Sometimes we want his boys that were just hanging out with him to, you know, we want, why aren't you pushing me? Or we want, you know, the other guy say, no, why don't you have more grace on me? And it's like, well, different people are bringing different things to the right. table. Appreciate right. what your friends bring and be grateful for the ones that, you know, will stand up to you, and be grateful for the ones that will just love you along. But don't get bitter because some of your friends may not be meeting a need that you need in that moment.
Right.
And ultimately, God has to meet that need. But it's so important to have a healthy team. Jordan, you have any?
Well, I was just going to say quickly, one of the things about the movie that just amazed me was just how, I guess, the character development, how deep they were able to go into right. each of the characters' journeys, because to deal, because I think Thor was carrying a really, really heavy weight because he was the one who could have done it. Like in Infinity War, he was the one who could have defeated Thanos.
Right.
Like he had the weapon. If he had just, you know, he was the one who was like right there, and so I think he was carrying a burden a little bit differently than everybody else, and so just with all that he went through with his different relationships, but even just how deep you have to dig to process all of that, because I think one of the important moments was when he went back. He had to have a talk with his mama.
If you
really wanted to get it together, like, he had to go back into the past and connect with his mom and really just kind of come face to face with her and be just completely transparent with all of that. It was just so deep to me.
Can I say something? I think the deep thing for me about the whole Thor situation is he was their leader. It's one thing to have someone that, you know, that's not your leader struggling. You're like, I'm be there for you. Yeah. But when it's your leader struggling, you're like, dawg, you're supposed to be here for me. You're supposed to be giving to me. You're supposed to be discipling me. And it's easy to, and I've seen this done in the past where people just walk out because their leaders are not doing good. But I think it just showed the support and the love and the unconditional love, again, that his people had for him, and allowing him to grieve and process in his own way while still being there for him.
Right.
Because I think sometimes, you know, we have these different type of relationships, but there are some relationships we have this expectation that they should just give to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when they're not giving to us, we get, whoa, what's going on?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So it just makes me realize, like, man, like, we're all this, whatever role God has you in, there's nothing new under the sun, you know what I mean?
Right.
And whether you're in a leadership position or not, we still deserve to show grace to each other and to be there for one another. But I think in our human nature, we can struggle with that, you know?
Right.
So I think that was one of the things that was convicting to me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. You guys want to talk about Hulk?
Hey. All right, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 again.
You know, Hulk's getting a little backlash. I mean, you know, a number of people I spoke to were just disappointed at his character development. Like, he didn't, there was, in the movie, there wasn't a lot. We were kind of waiting on, okay, this is where you are, but where are you going?
Right.
Like, where's your transformation?
Right.
Where's your growth? But one of the things that Quay pointed out, and I let him share, is you get to see a little bit of a picture of the old self versus new self and that battle that we all have. And so I'll let you share about that, and we'll start there with Hulk.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. You should have already been there from the last scripture. But, you know, in 17 it says, so I tell you this, and insist on the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not how you, that is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And it keeps on talking about you having to let go of your old life and embrace the new one that's put on to be like Christ.
Yeah.
And so I see that a lot in Hulk's storyline, in the sense that it might be a good thing for us to not have seen him in the chamber having this internal battle, becoming the angry Hulk that we seen in the first Avengers, and now this like astute, sophisticated, you know what I'm saying?
Professor Hulk.
Right, Professor Hulk, right. The fact that we didn't see him, it kind of helps you see the picture of how people may receive you when you start to hear the truth. When you start to hear the truth about God, you decide to become a follower of Jesus. Some people didn't see you wrestling with the scriptures, saying, I don't believe this, I got a question about that, I'm working through this. All they see is the new you now. And now you're not smashing stuff the way you used to. You know what I'm saying? You aren't angry the way you used to be. Like, and it should cause them to question, hey, what happened to you?
Right.
You know? Why are you acting like this? So in the whole storyline, I see him, like, your taste changed. That's some people that I talk about my relationship with God. As I continue to walk with Jesus, not in the beginning, as I keep walking, my taste started to change. I don't like the same stuff that I used to like. And so you see Hulk, he gets taken back in time, for people that haven't seen the movie. He travels back in time, and he runs into his old self. And his old self is smashing up the city, breaking cars, and for the sake of what they're doing, they're trying to pretend that they're themselves in the past, right? That sounds a lot, right? Sounds like a lot. But anyway, he has to take off his shirt and start acting like old him. And he's like barely kicking stuff. It's like, you know what I'm saying? He's like, I don't do this no more, man. This ain't it. And that should be a picture for us. Like, how easy is it for you to just jump back into your old way of doing things? Is it easy? Like, is that just, night and day, I'm back to the old me? Or is it like, I don't really want to go off on nobody today. It just showed a heart change, personality change, which your personality can change once you come to Jesus. That's okay. So it's what is expected of you. So that's it.
I actually had a different outlook.
Good.
Everything you said was very convicting, Quay. I think for me, what I saw in Hulk is, because if you look at the other movies, you had at one point where Hulk was there, but the other guy didn't want to come out. Mm-hmm. Then you had another movie where the other guy's here, Hulk doesn't want to come out. Right. You know what I mean? And I think both sides had their strengths and their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was, at Endgame, you saw them come together. Yeah. And I think what that made me think of is, man, God, I think sometimes I can go gung-ho about my strengths, but I look down on my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think of this scripture in 2 Corinthians 12. Mm-hmm. It says in verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And it just made me think, Daphne, if you're going to use everything to glorify God, you cannot leave out your weaknesses.
Yep. Yep.
Because when I do leave out my weaknesses, vulnerability goes out the window, mm-hmm. openness goes out the window.
Yeah.
And I don't allow people to see how God is using my weaknesses to transform me into the likeness of his son. Mm-hmm. So I think Hulk reminded me that I have to embrace both.
Right.
Both mm-hmm. my weaknesses or what I think is, and my strengths. But, that was my outlook
on
Hulk.
And that's the spirit, because I had that scripture from the beginning when we were talking about weakness. I had that to share, and it came back up. So thank you for sharing that. Nebula is also an example of old self versus new self.
Yeah.
Does anybody have some insight on, the new Nebula having to kill the old?
Oh, that was Ricardo.
The old self.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ricardo. So, one of the things that Ricardo wanted to share, he wanted to share how Nebula had to wrestle with who she used to be and who she is, and eventually ended up killing her old self for the greater good,
mm-hmm.
To save mm-hmm. everyone. Yeah. And how hard, if I saw my old self, I don't know if I'd be able to kill myself. I mean, I'd probably injure myself a little bit, but.
Shoot in the kneecap.
Right, shoot in the kneecap, But to completely, you know, and it just made her realize, like, no, this is not, this battle's not gonna be won unless I deal with my old self and put it to death.
And it, that old self is like, you know, a zombie. I mean, that old, right. I don't know about y'all, but I'm constantly feeling that. And it's the same struggles. It's like, man, I thought at some point it'd be maybe I can get past some struggles and go on to some new ones. But it's like the old self keeps wanting to come back out of the dead and haunt me, you know. And so I think for all of us as Christians, I know I definitely deal with that, constantly having to put that old self to death.
Yeah.
And I try to tell the even younger folks who are in their teenage years or college students, I try to say this often because there's a lie out there that the world says, have your fun now, do whatever you want. Hey, you sleep around, smoke, drink, party, do all this stuff while you're young because you won't be able to do it while you get older. It's going to get serious. Life is going to get serious. You have to work and have kids. Like, that's the worldly reasoning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the truth is that if we allow ourselves to go down that road when we're young, those habits will haunt us for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
It can't, like, there is not an age or a place in life where you stop being the old self just because you got a job or just because you graduated or just because you get married or just because you moved to somewhere else. The only way to kill the old self is to repent, to be baptized in the waters of baptism where that old self dies and we come up to a new life. It's only through Jesus. But I really want to warn our young people, oh, man, if I had a chance to do it all over again, people say, I wouldn't do nothing different. I would.
Right.
Oh, my goodness, I would. And I'm so inspired by the teenagers who have decided to make Jesus Lord at such an early age.
Yeah.
Because really, there's an opportunity for your life to be molded in a Christ-like way to fulfill your potential, and many times in a quicker
right.
and more profound way
right.
Moving forward. So just give it up for our young people in the church. All right. We'll leave Captain America for last. Uh-huh. And Doctor Strange. when I was, Doctor Strange. I know that's one of your favorite characters. Quay, do you have something there? I can
want to say something. I give them a chance, but Doctor Strange, for me in this instance, kind of represented God in a sense.
Okay.
It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Yeah. Is Proverbs 3:5-6. Mm-hmm. And Doctor Strange, for people that haven't seen the movie, Doctor Strange is, he had this stone, right? I'm trying to explain it to people that don't watch Marvel. Like, he has a stone that lets him go back in time. Just deal with it, superheroes. But, so anyway, he got this weapon that lets him go back in time. So he's like, or forward in time as well. So he, in the midst, before the conflict really kicks off, he's going forward in time, looking at all the different ways the scenario could play out to try to find a time when they win against the great evil forces, right? So he finds that out of the 14 million, like she was saying, there was only one way in which they could win. And the movie Infinity War ends like that, with him dying and saying this was the only way. And then the next one starts and he comes back and they still want to know, like, hey, is this going according to the plan? And he's like, well, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Because if I tell you, it won't happen the way that it's supposed to happen. And so that can be how we can get in our relationship with God, where we just want every single answer. Tell me every single step I got to go. And trust me, because I will go to the Lord 20 times looking for clarity. Let a star fall down from the sky. Let me know. Give me a sign. You know? And this, for me, was convicting in the sense of that I don't need to know everything. And sometimes, if I knew what I'm supposed to do, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so that trusting in the Lord, just trusting in the plan, even when God doesn't give me every single answer, was challenging. And, you know, sometimes God holding back the answer is the best thing for you to make a faithful decision that's going to allow you to be who you were created to be.
Yeah, it just makes me think about what we've been talking about all this time of just trusting the process. Because if you think about it, it's like, man,
why did it have to take 5 years?
Right.
Why
right.
did we have to lose every, like, why did we have to see our friends, like, vanish into dust? Why did we all have to experience this? Mm-hmm. But that was part of the plan the whole time, and that was the one way.
That's right. And how many, I mean, people who saw the movie, you can, if you remember, Doctor Strange didn't do anything significant in Endgame. That's why I say he kind of resembles God to me. He didn't do anything fighting-wise that was him against an opponent, if you go back and watch it. He was significant because he brought in the relationships. He opened the portals that brought in all the people that had been missing. Yeah. And then it got to a point where the people were overwhelmed, like a levee or some wall got broken down, and all this water came rushing in. That would have been too much for them to be able to handle. They can't handle a natural disaster and fight these enemies over here. So Doctor Strange's whole role in that fight was just holding back the water. They still had to fight, but he was just holding back the water. So it just kind of shows me examples how God does it. He'll bring the relationships to us. He'll give us. He'll keep away obstacles that are too much for us to handle. We still got to fight, though. So that's,
I think that is the most convicting part for me in the entire movie, because it's hard, man. It's hard when you're in the midst of trials and God is like, this is the only way. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you're losing stuff that is very important to you and God is like, this is the only way. Yeah. It's hard when things do not go your way, your dreams are not going according to plan. Like, and I think I've experienced that. Like, I've experienced, like, loss. I've experienced my dreams dying in certain areas. I've experienced trials and, like, looking like, God, where are you, God?
Right.
And, you know, and God saying, this is the only way. And what it makes me think about is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think about the scripture in Hebrews 12 where it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, like, the sufferings. Yes. And I even think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane, like, God, if this can be taken away, but let your will be done. Like, there was no other way for this to happen, and this had to be the way. Like, he had to go through these sufferings. He had to go through the cross. And it's convicting because we don't want to go through trials. We don't want to go through hardship. And I think sometimes what I tend to feel is I'm being punished. Mm-hmm. Like, God, if I'm going through this hard stuff, I did something wrong that I'm being punished. You know what I mean? And I failed to see God's grace in it. And I failed to see that God is like, no, these trials are going to build up your perseverance, and your perseverance is going to build up your character. And that's where hope comes in.
That's good.
And I failed to see that. And in the midst of the trials, you don't see that. I'm pretty sure Tony was looking at him like, what's going on? You know? And I think the convicting too was the ancient one when the Hulk was talking to her about, you know, he was like, well, why did, you know, he give the stone then? And she just stopped and was like, what? He gave the stone willingly?
Right.
And
right.
in her mind, it was, I trust what he's doing. Mm. So therefore, here you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I think that's the heart that I want to have. Like, God, because, you know, I'm just going to be real with y'all. Like, it's been so hard for me this year. Like, I've lost a lot. And even now, still going through a lot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I feel like God is like, this is the only way that you're going to be able to rely on me and see that you need me.
Right.
And see that it's not about asking me for things. It's about sitting in my presence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've gained such a conviction on that. Like, God, no matter what happens, no matter what trials I go through, if I just sit at your feet, I will be okay.
Amen.
Yeah. And if that's the lesson that I need to learn, then it's all worth it.
Right.
So I think that's this is why this was so convicting to me, and I could relate to it so much.
Yeah.
So the trials, and I think I wrote, like, God may not be able to deliver you or remove that mountain, but he's going to help you climb it, and he's going to be with you every step of the way.
Amen. Well, that is a perfect transition into our communion portion of our service. I know I told you we'd get to Captain America, but there's several more weeks of this. Hopefully, this was able to whet your palate a little bit and give you a little bit of introduction to what Blockbuster Summer is all about. Mm-hmm. The spiritual insights that we get through storytelling, mm-hmm. and how we can take it back to the scriptures and just highlight different things. And so I just want to close it out. I'm going to have Jordan pray for our communion in just a moment. This was a reference, but I want to read it. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 36, if you have your phones or a Bible, please read along with me. This is when Jesus was about to go to the cross. He had just had the Last Supper. All his disciples said, hey, we'll always be with you. We'll never disown you. We'll never leave you. He's like, yes, you will. And he knew that this was the moment where he was going to go to be crucified. And it's this very intimate time that he spends with God. In verse 36, chapter 26, verse 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And so, often I think about, well, God, you're God. And so, obviously, there's more than one way. Obviously, I don't have to go through my Garden of Gethsemane moments. You're making me go through this for whatever reasons you have to help me to grow, whatever else. But there has to be many ways, God, that you could have made this happen. You're the creator of all things. And here we see Jesus himself saying, if there is any other way, and God says, no, there's only one. There was only one way for us to get our sins forgiven. And that was by his one and only son dying on the cross for us. That's the only way. And so we see Jesus persevering through this. And I recently was studying this out and learned more about the cup that he was asking to be taken away from him. He said, man, take this cup away. That cup represented God's fury, his wrath. And I know we don't talk about that much. We don't like that side of things. But we can't really understand what Jesus is doing for us if we don't understand the cup of fury of that God has that will be poured out on those who are not right with him. We can't understand God's grace if we don't understand the wrath that is coming to those who forsake Jesus, who don't follow Jesus, who don't embrace him. But when we do, we're able to understand, man, you can have that much wrath and that much fury, and yet you're going to forgive me and allow me to be part of your kingdom, of your family. It takes on a whole different perspective, and it just hits so much harder in that way. And so Jesus was willing to go through that one way for us. So let's take this time as we pray for our communion and we just commune with Jesus and with each other about just that crucifixion and that one way that he had to go through. And just grateful that he didn't say no, that he didn't, give that cup back. So Jordan, you want to pray for us?
Sure. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this time, Father, to reflect, to remember your son and the sacrifice that he made so that we could be here today, Father, so that we could think about all of the amazing and wonderful lessons that we learn and how you just speak to us in so many ways, God. And, as excited as we get about these movies and seeing the world being saved, God, I just pray so much that the gratitude that we have for you literally saving us and allowing us to have a relationship with you because of what you allowed your son to do. God, I thank you so much that Jesus didn't say no. that he went through, he endured, he walked that path, he said yes to the one way, knowing that if he said no, there would be no other way. Mm-hmm. Knowing that if he said no, God, that we wouldn't get to experience not just an amazing relationship with him and fellowship and communion with him here on this earth, God, but in heaven too, Father, that we wouldn't get to spend eternity, God, with you. And I'm so grateful, God, that you did all of that just at the chance, God, that you would love us that much. And Father, as we take this bread that represents his body and the juice that represents his blood, Father, I just pray that we remember. And not just for these few moments and for today, God, but that we carry it through the rest of this week, God, that it will motivate us and drive us to do everything that we can just to imitate him, to imitate his love, his sacrifice, God. And thank you so much that we have the opportunity just to love you back the best way that we can. And I love you, Father. It's in your son's name. I will always pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.